Every week I have the privilege of interviewing guests for my features. Getting to talk with such a wide variety of people is probably the favorite part of my new job. The problem is, though, once the interview's over, I have to edit it, and that's where the problem emerges. You see, I only have 7.5 minutes for each piece, but I almost always have 2 to 3 times the amount of material that I need. So there's some part of the conversation that you never hear. Well, today is a bit of an experiment, really, an opportunity to look back at a few of the conversations I've had and a chance to hear some part of the interview that didn't make it into the feature. We received an email this morning from a listener in Illinois. She was responding to yesterday's piece on training children in the scriptures and the dangers to avoid when looking for biblical training materials for children. This is what she wrote. I appreciated hearing your guest talk about teaching children the Bible. My husband and I have been brainstorming about how to teach our grandchildren more about God, as they do not get this teaching by mom and dad at home and don't attend Sunday school or church. She concluded with the question of where they, as grandparents, should begin. I thought it was a great question. So I called Alan Wolf back this morning, author of Balancing the Sword, and he offered these thoughts for grandparents in similar situations.
In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, we see that there's actually a command for parents to teach not only their children, but it also says you shall teach these commands of God to your grandchildren. It can't just simply be that when we have kids over at grandma's house for the weekend, that we spend our time teaching them how to bake cookies or to fish. Scripture doesn't just simply invite grandparents to be teachers. It admonishes them to be teachers. And when grandparents do not play this role within the church, we are losing one of our most powerful voices, and often the voices of those with the most years of accumulated wisdom. The best type of teaching that either parents or grandparents can provide is that that's organic and spontaneous to the moment. But to do this, the parent or the grandparent needs to be studying Scripture frequently in private to be ready for those teaching moments. But grandparents need to be looking for those opportunities that will present themselves throughout the day. So as it is maybe that you're teaching a grandson how to fish, that you also teach him the lessons that Christ said that we are to be fishers of men. And as you teach about baking cookies or baking cakes, that as they see those items rise in the oven, that you teach them what Scripture says about the leaven of the Pharisees, and that how that a little leaven can leaven the whole lump. But we look for teaching opportunities to integrate it in an organic way in everyday experiences of life. That way, teaching is not reduced down to a sit-down, book-in-lap type of experience. One of the heroes of faith is Timothy, Paul's own protege, his student in the ministry. And when Paul makes comment about Timothy, he references two special people, and it seems as though he's implying that they are, if you will, mothers, not only biologically, but mothers in his faith. And that's Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, his mother. And so it is without question that grandparents can make a phenomenal impact in directing the lives of not only a child, but also grandchildren and even great-grandchildren.
Alan Wolf, answering a listener's question about the role of grandparents and the spiritual development of children. So those are just a few of the sound bites that didn't make it into my recent features. I hope they're helpful. From the producer's desk for Primetime America, I'm Paul Butler.